It's an interesting question because by unusual, you could mean two things. You could be using unusual in the sense of rare or in the sense of extraordinary. And in this case, it's both. It's in the first sense, it's quite rare. This is only the second time this has ever happened. It happened once before last year in 2019. But in the second sense, it's even more unusual. Nothing like this has ever happened. What happened in 2019 was more or less what the lawmaker had envisioned in setting up the procedures for forming a government. The president turns to one candidate based on recommendations, gives him or her a chance to form a government. According to the law, there's 28 days with a possible 14-day extension. The extension is always granted, almost always granted. And failing that, the president has the option of turning to a second member of Knesset, similar procedure, 28 plus 14. What happened right now is unusual, not just in the sense of how rare it is, but how different it is, in fact, from the procedure that was envisioned in the law. In this case, two things stand out. One, that the extension, which is usually automatic, was not granted. And it wasn't granted for a very good reason. The person who had the mandate was to actually seek to form a government. That's Benny Gantz. And secondly, that the president skipped over the second step that the law allows him. In other words, after one PM designate failed to form a government in the allotted time, rather than doing what the procedure allows him to do and what's been the standard practice, which is turning to a second candidate, he just skipped straight to the third step. The third step has essentially no designated prime minister. It's a free-for-all for the Knesset for 21 days, and then an automatic trapdoor that opens up and brings us to another election. That's even for something unusual, quite unusual.
We seem to be in a bit of a constitutional quagmire, don't we?
We're at a bit of an impasse. And what's interesting is that the Israeli law has all of these automatic triggers that are supposed to increase the pressure to solve an impasse that don't exist in a lot of other countries. So we remember cases in other countries with inconclusive elections, like Belgium and Spain and Austria and Ireland, where coalition negotiations can drag on occasionally for a really long time. The Belgians are particularly famous for this. Israeli law doesn't allow that to happen. As I said, each designated prime minister only gets 28 days. Usually he gets 42, in fact. And there are only two designates allowed for every election. Which is why, rather than having coalition negotiations drag on for more than a year, we've actually had a very similar result, except that the people keep being called to vote again. In this case, Rivlin hasn't hidden his intention, which is not to have an election, but to force the threat of an election to push the various sides to get to a compromise.
Do you think fourth elections now is the most likely scenario?
I'm very careful about making any kind of prediction. I don't know if it's the most likely scenario. It is certainly a distinct possibility. Getting to a situation right now where 61 members of Knesset agree on a government is very difficult because we're at the same impasse that we were in the last three election cycles, which is not really even an ideological impasse. It is that the person who is the leader of one of the two largest parties, and in this election cycle, just barely the largest party, is also under investigation and now actually indicted in three criminal proceedings. And there are a great number of politicians, not from his camp, who have staked their reputation and honor on not joining a government that he leads. To say nothing of the fact that there's a whole host of legal problems by entering into a coalition arrangement with him. Let's start with the thing that people forget, that according to the Israeli law, you cannot serve as a minister in government with an indictment except prime minister, which means that, you know, even in a rotation situation, the law has to be amended for Netanyahu to have a position other than prime minister, assuming he's still under indictment in a year and a half's time, which we don't know if will be the case. By then, he could already be found guilty or not guilty. So that and the repeated inconclusive result put us at the impasse we're at right now. Rivlin's gamble is if he can up the pressure, something will have to give.
Well, and politically, things have changed. At least two significant things have changed since Benny Gantz was initially handed the mandate. First of all, the blue and white alliance has fallen apart into two. Secondly, the polls now showing that Benjamin Netanyahu's bloc will win a significant, by Israeli terms, majority if new elections were held. The latest polls are showing 64 plus for his bloc. Maybe this is what prompted Benjamin Netanyahu not to close a deal with Benny Gantz and consider maybe new elections.
If we were talking about a more amateur politician, I would consider that to be a possibility. Netanyahu is far too seasoned and experienced, experienced also in some very negative outcomes, to take seriously his bump in the polls from a transient crisis before any of the bill has come due. I don't think he's naive enough to expect that a poll that he's given today at the very beginning of a crisis where people's instinct is to rally around a leader can serve as an indication for what the outcome would be in an election that couldn't take place before August at the earliest.
And of course, on top of all this, overriding everything is the coronavirus crisis, which has created a new levels of uncertainty, probably unprecedented uncertainty, on top of the legal layer and the political layer we've just talked about, because 6 months from now, if there are new elections, anything could happen.
And we have no mechanism in Israel for voting in a condition of pandemic. There's no postal vote in this country. There's no vote by proxy. There's no electronic vote. And I would hasten to add, I don't think we would want any of those things. But certainly in the circumstance we're in right now, holding an election and maintaining the social distance rules that exist today in April, I don't know whether they'll still be the case in August, is almost impossible. Politicians who are playing with this threat are almost literally playing with fire.
So, certainty there is not. Uncertainty, a great deal of it on all different kind of levels. Can Israeli democracy sustain all this and continue as a strong and vibrant democracy?
Israeli democracy has sustained a lot of setbacks and a lot of challenges, including wars and terrorism and great division over language, religion, ethnicity, economic crisis. I'd like to hope that it can sustain this. There still is a possibility in the current Knesset to get to a coalition of 61. There are a few possibilities. You have to be a bit creative. And before this is over, we could see other alliances break up as dramatically and as painfully as the blue and white one did. There are certainly members of Knesset today, among the 120, who could, in the right circumstances, get 61 members to support them to form a government. That would be a political bloodbath to get there. Whether such a thing can happen in 3 weeks' time with so much media scrutiny and in the middle of this pandemic crisis, I don't know. But it's not impossible.